Look up into the sky tonight and count the stars. Now take a guess as to how many of those stars have planets around them and how many of those might be able to support life. In less than 2 weeks, scientists have reported finding three planets around distant stars, and for the first time, they aren't these, you know, these huge giant gas planets like Jupiter. These planets have been discovered are only 12 to 20 times the size of the Earth. They're being called super-Earths, closer to the size of Neptune than to Jupiter. And though these planets probably cannot support life, the ability to find Earth-like planets may mean that scientists may be closer to finding planets like our own that may support life. My first guest this hour has found lots of extrasolar planets, including one of those new smaller planets. If you'd like to talk with him and join in our discussion, our number 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. Jeff Marcy is a professor of astronomy at the University of California, Berkeley, and co-discoverer of one of those new planets. He joins me by phone from his office at Berkeley. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
What do you call your planet?
Well, it's a Neptune-sized planet, 15 to 20 Earth masses in bulk.
Has it got a name yet?
No names. You know, we're a little bit embarrassed to give them names. It sounds like grandstanding, so we just give them the name of the star with the letter B after it. So the one we found is called Galiza 436b. Not very romantic, I have to admit.
And how far away is it?
Well, this one is 30 light years away. In fact, all three of these Neptune-sized planets that were announced last week are about 30 to 40 light years away, which is really just out our back door in the galactic scheme of things.
And they represent a whole new class of extrasolar planets.
You know, up till now, indeed since 1995, 9 years ago, all we had found orbiting other stars were giant planets like Jupiter and Saturn in our own solar system. They're big balls of hydrogen and helium gas. And so this one really is, these new ones are probably different. They're so small, of order 15, 20 Earth masses, that, you know, we really don't know what they're made of.
And so you speculate.
We speculate. We draw upon analogy with our own solar system, and indeed, of course, Neptune in our solar system, some people may not know, are composed mostly of rock and ice, not gas. Mm-hmm. So these new Neptunes may be similar.
And how close are they? You know, our Earth is toward the inside of the solar system, and Jupiter and Saturn toward the outside. Are these close in or far away?
They're very, very close in. All three Neptunes that we announced last week orbit about 30 times closer to their star than the Earth is from the Sun. So they're roasting hot in very tight orbits, snug around the star.
And they're spinning like crazy, aren't they?
Well, they're going around, you know, every 3 days. The planets are interesting in their own right in terms of spin. The planets probably keep one face toward the star at all times due to tides raised on the planets.
Could that mean that if it's hot and toasty on one side, it's freezing on the other side? Could there not be a boundary somewhere where
that's
the temperature
exactly,
is just right?
Well, that's exactly the notion, and I think it's almost certainly correct. These planets keep one face toward the star, blowtorched by it. The backside is frigid, and there should be a ring around the planet where if you could stand there, the star would be on the horizon, and the temperatures would be, in Goldilocks' words, just right.
Now, can you find any evidence of any atmosphere that would be, you know, you need an atmosphere to support life, don't you?
You know, this is really one of the key unknowns. We just don't know what these planets look like, what they're made of, and in particular, whether they have an atmosphere. They may have no atmosphere at all. They could be just big balls of rock, sort of like Mars or Mercury. They might have a thin atmosphere like the Earth, or they could actually have quite thick atmospheres. We just don't know.
And one of these little mini solar systems has four planets around it now. They had discovered previous bigger planets, and this is the first four-planet solar system discovered.
This is truly awesome, I have to say. The star 55 Cancri, which, by the way, you can see with the naked eye, it's star 55 in the constellation Cancer, has four planets. We announced 2 years ago three planets, which we had already found, the outermost of which orbits as far from its star, 55 Cancri, as our Jupiter orbits the Sun. So we found the first Jupiter analog out there, although the orbit is not quite circular, so it's not a perfect clone of our solar system.
Now, did you have to come up with any special equipment to find these planets, or redesign things, or giant orbiting telescopes, or whatever?
We are using the world's largest telescopes, and in fact, the one that we used to discover this first Neptune was indeed the world's largest telescope. It's called the Keck, and it's located on the Big Island of Hawaii, high atop a hopefully dormant volcano called Mauna Kea.
Hopefully for you and everyone else up there.
It's $100 million, this telescope. So as you asked, any special equipment, this is pretty high-powered stuff.
That's what a ball player salary could be. You know,
we should ask for their help.
1-800-989-8255. Matt in Falmouth, Mass. Hi, Matt.
Hi there. How you doing?
Fine.
Hey, I was just really curious. I know that we're finding these current super-Earths that are being discovered right now, but I was wondering, is the technology that you're using allowing us only to see stuff of that size and at certain distances? Are we starting to locate things more along Earth size as well? And
yeah, what is our resolution? Can we get down to smaller Earth size stuff?
Well, we are working day and night, and last week, 2 weeks ago, I should say, we installed a new CCD digital camera detector at the Keck telescope. This is not your five and dime store. The digital camera. This baby is $950,000, and it's designed explicitly to detect even smaller planets. We hope to get down to planets that are, say, 5 or 10 times the mass of our Earth. I think that might be the limit, though. We're going to need NASA's help with space-borne telescopes to find true Earths.
Now, with these cameras and the cameras that you've used to find these planets, can you actually see the planet?
Not a peep of information directly from the planet, not a photon, so to speak. We don't get pictures of the planets. You know, the way we find them is very simple and well-known. We watch the star, not the planet, can't even see the planet. And the star wobbles in space due to the gravitational pull on the star due to the orbiting planet.
And some of the other ways of finding, maybe not the smaller planets, have been recently looking at the light being blocked out.
This
sort of
is very exciting. Yeah. NASA has a mission called Kepler due to launch in 2007, and the idea, exactly that, is to watch stars over and over and over again with a camera and see if any of them dim due to a planet crossing in front of the star, blocking the starlight. And we should be able to detect Earth-sized planets, true Earth clones, with this system.
This new telescope is one of a whole slew of them that will be coming out in the next decade or two. Are they tooled up now to look for these smaller planets?
Well, we're getting closer. Kepler, due to launch in 2007. The next exciting thing we will all read about is the Space Interferometry mission that is being built at Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena. It should also find true Earths, and the exciting thing about that one is that it should find Earths that are very nearby, only a few light years away. So we'll be able to follow up and get pictures of them.
Arthur, hi, in Indiana.
Yes, hello, Ira.
Hi there.
Hey, I enjoy your program whenever I can catch it on NPR in my truck. Yeah, I wanted to make a comment. I think extraterrestrials should not visit Earth because we're sort of like the bad neighborhood. You know, the place where you don't want to go. You know, the way we have abused each other and our own environment for thousands of years, and yet we don't know better. You know what I'm saying?
I got you. All right, thanks for calling. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Ira.
1-800-989-8255. These new telescopes, you're saying that they will actually be able to resolve down to an Earth-sized planet?
Well, the real exciting grand telescope that NASA plans to build is called the Terrestrial Planet Finder. And it has just been approved, and there's a strong effort to build this thing. It won't be finished for another 12 or 13 years. It will be a space-borne telescope designed to block the starlight so that the glare from the star will be suppressed, and you'll be able to see the tiny pale blue dot of a water-laden planet orbiting that yellow star.
1-800-989-8255. Joe in Buffalo. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Hi there.
My question is, since you're finding so many Jupiter and Neptune-like planets in really close orbits around their sun, is it possible that the natural evolution of a solar system, at some point the inner planets get sucked into the star and the outer planets get sucked up into close orbits?
Well, here's what happens. During the youth of a star, there's a lot of gas and dust swirling around the young star, and indeed the planets form out of that material. And of course, that material also offers friction, and it makes the planets spiral inward. And so you're quite right that in the first few million years of the lifetime of a planetary system, the planets we now know migrate inward, spiraling in. Some of them go right into the star and are lost, and then you have to wait for other planets farther out to wander inward and plant themselves where they finally end up.
But how do you think these giant ones got in there?
Well, these giant planets probably started much farther out, formed out where our own Jupiter is from the sun, and then in their cases, lost energy and angular momentum and find themselves today much closer in.
Are these old suns that we're looking at, older than ours?
They are. We know the ages of all of our stars that have planets around them, and a typical age is sort of 3 billion to 10 billion years old, sort of like our sun, which is 4.6 billion years old.
And how many of these stars are there of this type? Now, it seems like this is going to be a common thing, having these kinds of planet systems. How typical of this is of our Milky Way is this?
Well, this is a very good question. You know, our Milky Way galaxy contains 200 billion stars, and many of them are just like our sun being fairly average. Of course, the Milky Way is a big place, 100,000 light years across. But among those billions of stars, we estimate that there are something like 20 billion planetary systems in them. Many of those planetary systems almost certainly now have smallish, rocky planets with a hard surface that you could stand on, liquid water could puddle into ponds and lakes, and perhaps the biochemistry of life could spring up.
And these new planets being discovered are so close they could be hearing I Love Lucy by now.
Well, you know, the unfortunate thing is if there are any intelligent civilizations out there and they do pick up our television and radio waves, if they hear Gilligan's Island, they'll know that there's no intelligent life here.
What goes around comes around. But in all seriousness, this is very exciting for you guys, huh?
Well, we're beside ourselves, and honestly, we're a little too close to it to appreciate it. You know, just 9 years ago, people laughed at us for searching for any planets, even the big gargantuan Jupiter-like planets, and I don't blame them. People thought finding planets would be impossible.
Well, they used to say, you know, if you were outside of our solar system and you looked in, all you would see would be what, Jupiter, Saturn, something like that. Now they can't say that anymore.
No, that's right. We're beginning to find the smaller, rocky ones, and those are the ones that can harbor life.
Should we expect new announcements every week or so now on new planets being found?
It's not quite that easy. We worked very hard. In fact, this planet that we announced last week at NASA headquarters, we actually knew about it a year ago, but it's so difficult that we just kept taking more and more data to be absolutely sure.
Have you got a pre-announcement you can make for us today?
Nothing like that, but I'll tell you what we have found are lots of multiple planet systems, like that four-planet system that you mentioned. So one thing that is very exciting is to watch these multi-planet systems, see how they compare to our solar system with its nine planets, and learn about how planets gravitationally yank on each other to sculpt themselves into their final configuration.
Thank you. Very fascinating. Thank you, Jeff, for taking time to talk with us.
My pleasure.
And for being such a good explainer.
Thank you.
Jeff Marcy is professor of astronomy at University of California, Berkeley, and co-discoverer of one of those new planets, talking to us from his office there. We're going to take a break, switch gears, shift it into another gear, still with sort of a planetary idea. We're going to come back and talk about what's the best way to communicate with extraterrestrial life out there. You know, we always think about listening to radio messages, sending them, listening for them, maybe light beams. Somebody says E.T. was wrong. Phoning home was not the right way to go. The mail, he says. We'll talk about it when we get back. Stay with us.